Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Pixar Pier is now open. We discuss all the new experiences. The new Inside Out attraction has a name and better concept art.
The Tiki Room turns 55. We talk about our thoughts on the new pier and much more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of June 27th. I'm Teresa Urban. Tag is traveling this week, so we have a special guest host for the week, Vern.
Hello. Happy to be here. I'm glad that Tag's out having some fun and I can cover for him.
For starters, we would like to welcome our new patron, Shelby. By supporting the show, our patrons receive some pretty neat extras like access to our private chat, bonus episodes, and some Deal Weekly support swag. So thank you to Shelby and all of our patrons for your support. Now let's get to the news.
We forgot to wake up the Glee Club.
Ole, ole, it's showtime.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing word and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd be the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room.
This week's Pixar Pier finally debuted to the public. The new area looks great and has been a big hit. It's even allowed for numerous days of less than 5-minute waits for a lot of the attractions over in Disneyland, as everyone was over at Pixar Pier. The main attraction in this area is the Incredicoaster. As with Guardians of the Galaxy before, this is a retheme to an existing attraction that is better than the original. There is now a story as you progress through the attraction. The new show scenes have to be seen to really appreciate fully. Overall, a great change. So, obviously, since we are all the way out in the Midwest in Wisconsin, we have not been able to fully appreciate this in real life. We haven't been able to actually experience the attraction. However, I know that I have been watching multiple videos of this new Incredicoaster, and I can say I am so excited. Vern, have you had a chance to watch any of the videos?
Yes, actually, I did check out a YouTube video that was produced. There was one of the Imagineers that helped build the coaster was sitting shotgun with the guy that was doing the recording.
Very cool.
Yeah. It looked good. I liked it a lot. One attraction that isn't as noticeable in experience with its re-theme is the Pixar Pal-Around, formerly Mickey's Fun Wheel. The new paint job and refurbished lighting system looks great, but it is still the same attraction that it used to be. Not too much more to say about this one.
So, I don't know. I think the gondolas, I think, are really cool, really whimsical. We were fortunate enough that when Vern and I were there, oh gosh, almost a month ago now, that they were actually putting some of the... We were there one day, and the whole Fun Wheel actually didn't have any gondolas on it. It was very kind of surreal to see that. But then a couple days later, when we were back over by the pier, we could see that they were putting up the new gondolas. And I like the colors. I feel like they pop a little bit more. They're more vivid colors than what was on the Mickey's Fun Wheel. And I just love that they have used characters from every Pixar movie imaginable. There are characters that are from Brave, from Coco, Toy Story, Ratatouille. I mean, you name it, they're on there. And I just think it's great. The reimagined attractions may be what you have been waiting for in this new area, but the hit online has been the Lamplight Lounge. The new restaurant in the old Ariel's Grotto and Cove Bar location is full of fun surprises. There are a lot of Pixar animator treasures in this location on the walls, including the real-world prop used to animate the army men in Toy Story. Another literal hidden gem is The Office, which is a hidden room that you have to be randomly chosen to try and enter. To get into The Office, you need to complete a puzzle with effects to open the door. I really hope that one of the times that I know, obviously, I'm going to be going, but I hope, fingers crossed that I can be chosen to be one of the people to go into The Office, because the photos online just look so, so fun.
Every time that you and I go to the circus, I end up getting chosen to be in the clown act. So you have to take me with and then just get me anywhere near that door and hope that that same good luck kind of rubs off.
There
you
go.
And then we'll be good to go.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so you're speaking about the atmosphere, but what about the food? The new restaurant brings back some fan favorites, like the lobster nachos, and introduces some new items like the carne asada roll, which is basically a sushi roll, but with steak replacing the fish. In addition to great food, there are also some pretty cool beverages. There are some that are just as great to look at as they are to drink, like the Infinity Fizz that smokes and bubbles. It's made from Powerade Mountain Berry Blast, apple juice, and cherry pearls, on top of dry ice in the cup that makes the pearls dance and the drink smokes while you drink it.
That sounds amazing. So amazing. Okay, definitely getting the Mountain Berry. No, what the heck was it called?
Mountain Berry Blast.
No. The Infinity Fizz. That's what
yes.
it was. I definitely want to try that Infinity Fizz. That sounds awesome. So, Vern, last we were there, we were able to go to the Cove Bar, and we actually did try the legendary lobster nachos. Now, I'm not a really big seafood person, but I thought they were pretty delicious. What did you think, Vern?
I thought it was delectable. personally, being a huge fan of lobster and appreciating lobster that's been cooked appropriately, too often lobster gets overdone and it's tough and chewy and loses its flavor. And I was apprehensive going into nachos with lobster because I thought there's no way they're going to do this right. And then they proved me wrong. They did it right. And that lobster was flaky and delicious and on nachos. So pretty much the best thing ever.
While not as mind-blowing as the Lamplight Lounge, three other dining locations open with Pixar Pier. First is Jack Jack Cookie Num Nums. At first, it sounds underwhelming, cookies. However, Disney has done it again with a great simple item done extremely well. Cookies include a hot brown butter cookie, a gluten-friendly blackberry-filled cookie, and a shortbread cookie. If you like milk with your cookies, you can get plain milk, chocolate milk, strawberry milk, soy milk, and almond milk.
Which is interesting, because in Incredibles 2, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't already seen it, they never actually address the flavors of the cookies. It's always just, Jack Jack Num Nums. So...
Cookie,
now we know.
Cookie Num Nums.
Yeah, so now we know. Oh, it could have been any of those flavors. But if you want something more savory than a cookie, you can swing by the Poultry Palace and pick up some turkey legs or chicken drumsticks. I really looked forward to turkey legs last time we were there. Just got to throw that in there. Some folks in the supporter chat had this and they really liked it. If hot dogs are more your thing, you can get them at Angry Dogs, themed after anger from Inside Out. There are a couple of different options and a few sauces to fire up your taste buds. Finally, Senior Buzz's Churros offers churros, including the Caliente Churro and the Cinnamon Sugar Galaxy Churro.
You know, there is no shortage of themed churros right now at the resort, and I just think it's so, I think it's fun.
Some of them need to come with disclaimers, though. Like, if you're not used to having the chilies in your chocolate sauce, then you need to beware of the cocoa churro and other things like that.
They're still delicious.
It was still delicious, but it kind of caught me off guard. I'm just saying.
Well, fresh out of the theater, the Incredibles have joined the Paint the Night parade with their new float. This has a lot of neat effects on it, and it really highlights the power of the Incredibles. Overall, a great addition to the parade to replace the Frozen float that didn't make the cut when the parade was moved over to California Adventure from Disneyland earlier this year. So, I haven't been able to experience it in person since we're in the Midwest, but from the things that I've seen online, the photos and the videos that I've seen, it looks so much fun. And I really think the new effects that they have on it just look so cool. They have, I don't remember, we talked about what the technical names were, and if Tag were here, he could probably tell you what they were, but the different effects that they have that simulate Dash running around the float were just so cool. And then the bubble that Violet's kind of creating up on the top of it, very cool. It just kind of brought, it just brought the parade to the next level.
What happens if you miss the Incredibles at Paint the Night? Don't worry about it. You can meet all of your favorite Pixar characters in Pixar Pier. Russell, Flick, Princess Atta, Jessie, Woody, Buzz, Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Edna Mode, and Frozone were all spotted this past week.
Okay, I need to seek out and meet Edna. She is one of my favorite characters. I'm not really sure why, but I always love her.
Because she's got that spice, that certain je ne sais quoi about her, that just that attitude you want to spend time with her, even if you know she hates you.
Well, one of our favorite decks from when Vern and I were in the parks recently was the Pixarmonic Orchestra that now has its own home in Pixar Pier at the Pixar Park Bandstand. The only downside of the new venue is the lack of an elevated stage, so only the folks in the front will have a good view. I really hope that they do something to kind of remedy this situation, because just watching them was kind of a treat, because it's a very whimsical, very kind of over-the-top production. It's not just them standing there playing their instruments. They're making faces, they're dancing, they're, I mean, it's a very, I don't know, it's very entertaining aside from just the music aspect of it. So to me, not being able to see them is kind of a, it's a different experience than if you're able to see them actually perform.
We finally have a name and better concept art for the Inside Out attraction coming to the end of Pixar Pier next year. The Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind is a re-theme of Flick's Flyers from A Bug's Land, which will be closing later this summer at the resort. The real gem of this announcement is the theming of the area that once housed the Maliboomer to something other than a blank pad with little theming or vegetation. Once this attraction opens, it will really liven up this area. I gotta be honest, I don't know what the Maliboomer is.
The Maliboomer, that is a ride of the past. So
hence was, why yeah, I don't know yeah, about it.
Okay, it was something from the past. But so where this will kind of be going is kind of tucked over by the base, I guess, of the Incredicoaster. So it's kind of using space right now that isn't being used for anything. So I'm excited because I think that it'll look, obviously add to the area, but I think it'll also kind of add a neat element when you're on the roller coaster to kind of be zipping by this attraction as well. So I'm excited for it. Plus, I mean, who doesn't love Inside Out? That's one of my favorites.
And one thing that's always really impressed me specifically about Disneyland is the incredible use of space that mm-hmm. they have always been able to pull off there, where you can be up in one ride and look down and be like, oh, wow, I'm right on top of another ride. But it's cool because it doesn't affect your experience on the ride you're on. And they're able to pack in that much more into arguably an incredibly small space. Yep. So I'm all for it. If they're going to be able to take up space and do it properly, good on them.
The attraction that introduced audio animatronics to the world, the Enchanted Tiki Room, turned 55 on Saturday. There was a lot of merchandise for this anniversary, from Tiki Funko figures to some t-shirts, pins, and more. Some of the items sold out immediately, including one of the t-shirts and the pins. I'm surprised. According to things that I've seen online, there was actually just a massive line of people waiting out the door for the store to get in to get their hands on this this anniversary merchandise. I for me personally, a lot of the stuff that I saw online, I can understand why some diehard fans would be waiting in line for it, because I thought they did a really nice job. All the merchandise looked great. The Funko figures, Tag and I were talking about them earlier. He really wanted them, but he wasn't quite sure of the price tag. But no, I think they did a really nice job with this.
Outside of the parks, some of the refurbished World of Disney store reopened last week. The store now looks and feels like Disney Springs out in Orlando. Overall, the store looks nice and modern with a splash of Disney magic.
For those of you that don't know, the World of Disney store is actually located in downtown Disney. The first time I actually went to this store was the last time we were there, and how I didn't like take the time to go over and check the store out before, I don't know. So we were there obviously during when it was under construction, but they did still have a good chunk of the store still open to the public for your shopping convenience. And I just, man, anything that I saw and kind of thought maybe I wanted to get when I was in the park but just didn't take the time to purchase it at that time was in that store. So I just thought it was such an awesome resource if you don't want to purchase things in the store and have to worry about either carrying them or having to pick them up at the front guest area later in the night. You know, if you just didn't want to have to deal with it in the park, this is a great, great option. So glad that it's getting a new facelift.
It also worked out really nice for us just that we went there on the last day that we mm-hmm. were even in town. So we're already exhausted and we're ready to just kind of take a little time down and do a little shop and whatnot. And that's when we finally had that moment of, oh yeah, I have been looking at that for 3 days. Maybe I should finally pick it up now. So that worked out nice.
Well, this Saturday, June 30th, the Play Disney Parks app will be available to the public. So I, for one, am very excited about this app. I'm going to kind of try and summarize. There's been a lot of information about what's going on with this app. It seems like there's going to be a lot of different things that you're going to be able to do with this app. But basically, the Play Disney Parks app is going to be kind of an interactive way to have guests kind of interact with their surroundings while they're in the park. So it's going to be something that's going to be super awesome, especially for me, who doesn't like waiting, for kids who maybe get bored waiting in lines. It's going to be something for them to do while waiting. So some of the different things that they have going on is there's a playset party, which will be available at the Toy Story Mania over in Disney California Adventure. There's an Off to Neverland game at the Peter Pan's Flight over in Disney Disneyland, and all sorts of different games that are going to be available through this app online. You kind of, it seems to me like you almost have to be in that queue or in that area to kind of check into the game to access the game. The other thing that you can do too is when you guys sign into your Disney account with this app, you can earn, collect, and share all sorts of different achievements and different things that you're going to be rewarded while playing the games. There's also going to be trivia that you can do and different challenges and all sorts of stuff. I wish that they would have had this out earlier so we could have experienced it when we were there. I'm going to download it and see and play around with it. I'm hoping that maybe for those of us that don't get to visit the parks as often as we would like to, I'm hoping that maybe they do also have an aspect of this new app that allows you to kind of be involved with this stuff, even if you're not at the parks. All right, for our discussion topic this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about several different areas, including Pixar Pier, because obviously it just opened. We can't not talk about it. So we're going to start off with that. So as you guys know, Vern and I were there a couple weeks ago, going on a month plus now. I don't want to think that it was that long ago, so I keep talking in weeks. But anyways, so obviously, we were not there for the grand opening this weekend, but we did get to experience the construction, which I'm kind of, you know, as weird as it sounds, I'm kind of grateful that we were able to be there during the construction, because it was just really interesting to kind of see everything slowly coming together. Obviously, there was a lot of construction walls up while we were there, but still, even that was just really, I don't know, the Disney geek in me thought it was so interesting.
And even those construction walls, I mean, they're 8-foot tall walls, but you've got 30-foot tall structures 50 feet behind the wall. So even with the 8-foot tall wall there, you were still able to clearly see, or more or less clearly see, what was happening. And on those 8-foot tall walls, they had posters of what was eventually going to be behind the wall. And if you lined things up just right, you could actually be looking at the wall and see beyond it. And like specifically part of the queue for the Incredicoaster is modeled after the house in Incredibles 2. And so they had the poster up saying, oh, this is what it's going to be looking like. And then as you're looking over the fence, you're, oh, wow, I can see it. It's under construction, but there it is. And so, of course, And Teresa can tell you, anytime that we go on any vacation, I'm always the one with my camera out, pointed at everything. I average between 700 and 1,000 photos.
Yeah, speaking of which, how many photos did you take during our last vacation there? So remember, guys, we were there for 4 days.
Originally 1,500. I was able to edit it down to 1,100. But I take a lot of pictures because I don't really have the best memory and I like to remember things. And even Teresa has said in the past, you know, it's really good that you took all those pictures because I had forgotten about whatever thing that I had taken a picture of. So, but one thing that I was really enjoying was going around with the camera, find the poster on the construction wall and take a picture of that, because though this is the concept art, this is what it's going to look like. And then I'd find myself like a bit of high ground or something where I could zoom in over the wall and get a picture of the construction part of it. And just to have that juxtaposition of here's what it's going to be, here's where it is at this point. I don't know, for the geek in me, that it was really wild to be able to see that and record it with my own camera to be able to enjoy for however long I have that memory card.
Well, years, obviously. It's Disney stuff.
Well, yes, and it's I protect my memory cards, but things happen. So hopefully nothing bad will happen. Waterproof cameras help.
So another thing that they were doing while we were there was they were actually testing the Incredicoaster, and we actually kind of got a little bit in trouble. I don't know if I told you guys this, but we were, so earlier that month, it had been leaked online that you could actually look up the first ascent of the Incredicoaster up into the tubing and see the figure for Dash. And so we had gone over to Toy Story Mania, and if you went right kind of past where the entrance was for that, you were then right in line with the Incredicoaster's first ascent. So you could actually be standing on the sidewalk and you could, if you looked really hard, long and hard, you could look up the tube and you could see Dash up there. I thought it was so cool. And actually when we were there, they were testing the lighting. I don't know if it was just specifically in that tunnel or if it was all the tunnels, but they did have the neon zigzagging, that purple zigzag neon was going up the tunnel as well. So we kind of got a little sneak peek of a little sneak peek of Dash up the tunnel. They were also like I said, they were also testing the Incredicoaster. So that was really fun watching the empty cars kind of zip around. While we're talking about the Incredicoaster. So as you guys know, and as we've already discussed, we're in Wisconsin. So unfortunately, we have not had the privilege to experience the awesomeness that is the Incredicoaster. But since I'm such a Disney geek, I have, of course, watched multiple videos of it. I'm a little obsessed. But anyways.
So it was multiple videos?
Yes, multiple.
Oh.
multiple videos. Oh. Anyways, so I'm a little,
I
might have a little bit of a problem. And I know I was on the fence because I always have this weird thing that do I really want to watch it and kind of spoil myself? But I'm just way too excited and too impatient to not watch the videos. So anyways, I broke and I watched it, and now it's been on repeat. And I am just so excited for this attraction. It looks like so much more fun than what Californian Screamin' was. Obviously, Californian Screamin' was fun just because it was a thrill. It was a thrill ride. You got to zip around. You got to do your loop-de-loop. It was fast. Good times. But just adding the element of having the Incredibles kind of intertwined throughout this attraction just, for me, brought it to the next level. So I cannot wait to experience it. Even the fact that not only do you have a different soundtrack, but you're hearing the Incredibles kind of trying to work together so that they can find baby Jack-Jack and bring him home. But you also have the different visuals with all of the different props and different characters throughout the ride. Plus, in the tunnel that has Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, and Mr. Incredible is trying to hand Jack-Jack a cookie and get him to kind of like come with him. That tunnel, actually, they have smells that come out that make it smell like chocolate chip cookies. And I think that's just such an interesting aspect to add to a true roller coaster.
Well, the new roller coaster tech that has been coming out in a lot of roller coasters, you know, all over at different parks, you know, having those speakers built into the cars and really providing an experience of you're not just in a coaster car whipping around going fast, but you're on an adventure and you're hearing, you know, music or you're hearing voices or, you know, I went on my first roller coaster ride ever in 1987, and none of that tech existed at the time. It was just, here's your loop-de-loop, here's your sharp corner, and there's a curly Q, and thank you, I hope you enjoyed your minute 15-second ride. And you had to stand in line for 2 hours for it. And then, you know, in the late 90s, everything became all about just, we want to go as fast as we can, we're going to send you down the steepest descents and go as fast as possible, and okay, that was it. It took 57 seconds, and you waited 3 hours in line for it. But now the full experience that roller coasters are becoming, where they're, you know, having the loop-de-loops plus the speed plus the music plus the storyline, I think just overall the tech and roller coaster companies, or for, you know, whoever it is that's, you know, coming up with the roller coasters, they're doing a great job and really making a much better experience for people of all ages, kids or adults.
So the other cool thing, too, since we're still talking about the Incredicoaster and how incredible the Incredicoaster is. For me, I am more excited to experience this attraction at night. So I don't know if anybody has had the like amazing, awesome experience of doing the Incredicoaster at night. But from the videos, holy cow, it looks like such a cool, it looks more thrilling, it looks more intense, the colors, the lighting, just everything about it. It just, to me, this looks like a ride that I want to experience at night versus, I mean, yes, of course, I will do it during the day as well, but I'm really looking forward to experiencing it at night.
I don't know, I really enjoyed doing Space Mountain at night.
But shoot, because you couldn't even tell. Oh, Vern,
that's
what are we going to do with you?
That's why you invited me to this, because I'm so hilarious.
Well, speaking of Vern, I think we're going to kind of segue. So as some of you may or may not know, I don't know if I've really talked about this, but Vern is an avid runner. So he is an ultramarathoner, marathoner, half marathoner. He does it all. But anyway, so a while ago, we actually went to Disney World, and Vern ran in the Walt Disney World Marathon in January, which Florida in January, awesome. Awesome weather compared to what we have here in Wisconsin. So it was a great getaway. But so Vern was telling me, because how they actually run the marathon, it's not very easy for people to kind of spectate. So it's kind of its own secluded thing, which I think is kind of awesome and really adds to the experience of the marathon, I think, overall. But Vern, tell us about your thoughts on the marathon.
Well, the lack of spectator support does help and doesn't help. When you're, anybody in the audience that is a runner, you may have run a longer distance race, half marathon or full marathon, you know how it is having the support of loved ones, knowing that there's somebody along the course that's cheering for you, can really make or break a race sometimes. And when you're 20 miles into a 26-mile run and you're getting tired and you see that loved one on the side cheering, you're like, oh, okay, I feel a little better now. Being on a closed course with no spectators, no cheering, you have to fight your own mental battles of, okay, it's only been 20 miles, I can do this. But, I mean, overall, it's still an absolutely incredible experience. Back to the Incredibles. But, no, it was a lot of backstage area, a lot of, you know, the areas of the kingdom that only the cast members would normally see. So it was...
You got to run through what, the costuming area? There was a backstage area that had some of the different parade floats stored back there.
Yeah, the fire-breathing dragon thing. There were people having their picture taken right with it. I mean, you could stand a foot away from it.
Well, and Disney did a really nice job from, so again, remember, Vern takes so many photos, so I got to see a lot of this, so it's kind of like I got to do it with him.
Yes, I even take pictures while running a marathon. I am that photographer geek.
Yeah, but the dragon, they had it pulled out. It wasn't like it was just in its little like storage garage area or something. They actually had it pulled out. So they really wanted to make this just an amazing experience for the runners. So if you're a big runner that really likes to race for time, a Disney run is probably not the thing for you.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they kind of want you to take it slow and really enjoy your time. I feel like they probably have a very lenient course time for, you know, because a lot of times they only allow you to be out on the course for so long, so then they can, you know, tear down and clean up after you. Because during this time, the parks were still open, so they kind of had to change some things around in the park so that there were still people able to visit and experience the park in addition to the runners doing the marathon.
Yes, which at times kind of created a little bit of crowd support, but it was mostly just people staring like, what are you people doing?
Aren't you waiting for Space Mountain?
Yeah. And, you know, part of the reason that I ran the Disney World Marathon, I mean, of course, it's Disney Marathon, you have to run it. Everybody says so, but also I'm working towards doing a marathon in every state, so I thought if I'm doing Florida, that would be absolutely a perfect one to do. And I'm holding my breath for whenever Disneyland is going to come out with their marathon, so that can be my California.
Yeah, so as we kind of have talked in previous episodes, the Run Disney events right now are on hold for Disneyland. They are only happening right now at the Disney World Resort down in Florida. So fingers crossed, because I just think they're such interesting and awesome experiences. So fingers crossed that they will be coming back to Disneyland, because Disney geek me would totally do one of them just so that I could go through all the backstage areas that I could possibly go to and kind of see behind the scenes more, because that stuff just really is really awesome and amazing for me.
And she was more than a little jealous when I got back to the house that we were renting for the week. And I said, oh, look at all these great pictures that I got.
So jealous. So jealous.
You know, these races, you know, I had gone into it with an idea of, you know, it's January, it's 55 degrees. I've been training in Wisconsin in negative 10 wind chills and 6 inches of snow. So, you know, I'm going to really take advantage of this nice weather. I'm going to have a fast race. I'm going to feel really good. And then I found out, oh, no, there's 25,000 people on this course. I will not be going fast. I'll be going the rate of the crowd. But then I saw that there were all these characters all along the course, and they had Disney cast members that were there to, you know, take your phone and take your picture with the characters. And it was Disney for the race knew that they needed to make an experience. And I completely forgot about trying to run fast or have a fast marathon or anything. I just became completely engrossed in the experience of, who am I going to get my picture taken with next?
So how many, because I'm trying to remember, because obviously you showed me all the different photos, but how many different characters do you think were on the race route? I mean, obviously you don't have to tell me an exact number, just a ballpark would be fine.
Oh, there were a lot. I mean, it was, I hesitate to say every single mile, but I mean, in a 26-mile race, I easily saw 20 different characters out there.
Who were some of the different characters that you saw? So you took a video. Mickey was the one that was at the start line, and they had a fireworks show. It was a pretty awesome finish, you know, start line for everyone.
I've run marathons where it was literally a group of 30 people in a cornfield in Iowa, and one guy was staring at his watch, and he suddenly went, "Oh, wait, go!" And that was the start of the marathon, which is
this
not...
This was an experience, though. See, I mean, it was like a mini nighttime spectacular.
That's what I was getting to, because it was, you know, it's we're standing there waiting for our group's time to go, where I'm watching as fireworks keep going off over and over again. And then finally, it's our group's time, and we move up to the start line, and there's Mickey up on a stage, and he's talking to people, and then there's... You know, countdown from Mickey, 3, 2, 1, go, and then fireworks go off, and music is playing, and lights are strobing, and it was hands down the most exciting marathon start I have ever seen in my life. I'd been standing in line from 4 in the morning to 5 in the morning, and all of a sudden I am wide awake and ready and having fun, and it was so cool. Then as we're going along the course, within 2 miles, I see Wreck-It Ralph, and you know, a whole bunch of the cast from that are there on the side cheering everybody on. You could have pictures taken with them, and Jack and Sally, and Lilo and Stitch, which was also the first time that I finally stopped and had my picture taken with people, was my Lilo and Stitch picture. Animal World, or Animal Kingdom, had animals out along the course. I got my picture taken with a tortoise.
Didn't the tortoise have a race bib on, too?
Yes, yeah. The tortoise was, you know, more or less a marathoner. You know, he had the same bib number. Captain Jack and Captain Barbosa were arguing and bickering with each other, and as you went up to get your picture taken with them, they would stop, shake your hand, introduce themselves, and then go back to bickering with each other like you weren't even there. Hilarious. And they never broke character, even in the introducing themselves. They just stayed in that bickering, and it was awesome to watch. The Toy Soldier or Toy Story Army men, not toy soldiers, but the Toy Story Army men, where there was one significant hill in this entire course. You know, we live in a very hilly area, and I'm used to running up big hills. And so for me, it was a very flat course. But then we get to this one, you know, decent-sized hill, and the army men are along the side of the hill, and they're all mic'd up, and they're yelling at us, you know, barking out like we're soldiers in boot camp, and get up that hill, soldier! And just, you know, overall, the experience having so many, you know, the cast members out there and the characters and everything, you know, getting your picture taken with everyone, it was great. I mean, Disney really does an awesome, awesome job of creating an experience and not just a race. And I mean, if you've ever considered bucket list, one day in my life I'm going to run a marathon, make it a Disney marathon.
Well, and I'm trying to think, because even if 26 miles is just seems way too much for you, and there's no possible way you could be able to do that, I'm trying to think, they had a 5K, a
10K, half marathon, and full.
Yep, a half marathon and a full marathon. So they did everything from 3 miles up to the 26 miles. They also have something called, what is it, like the Goofy? Dopey. Yeah, the Dopey Challenge, which you basically, when you sign up for the Dopey Challenge, you're signing up to do all 4 races. And I think it's 4 races in 4 days, if I'm not mistaken. It might
be
a shorter...
I think 5Ks in the morning and 10Ks at night.
Okay, I was going to say, it might be a shorter time period than that. So you're packing a lot of miles in a very short time. Hence why they call it the Dopey Challenge.
Although, I've always made the argument, but by the time you've conditioned your body to run 26 miles, what's another 3 or 6 or 13?
Oh, yeah, who cares about an extra 10 miles? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm not a big runner?
I mean, what's an additional 22 when you've already trained for 26?
However, I don't know. I may, if they bring it back to Disneyland, I may have to get my butt outside and start running myself around the block a few times to get in shape so I can go see those backstage areas.
They're very nice.
As we wrap up, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and would like to support the show, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Our patrons get some nice perks, including access to a supporter-only chat with us and fellow Disney Parks fans, and some Disneyland Weekly swag. Another big thank you to our newest patron, Shelby. If you'd like to find out more about how you can become a patron, please stop over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
And if you're in the midst of saving for your own next Disneyland trip and you can't support the show with money, then help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you know. If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to pick some up for yourself.
We love seeing a review on iTunes, plus it helps get our ranking better so more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DLWeekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Please feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet at us any questions, feedback, or suggestions that you may have about the show.
Teresa and Teg will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.